Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy. That's your desire.
Right
and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bible, turn to Daniel 9 and we'll read verse 20 through 27. I want to try to bring this series on the 70 weeks of Daniel to a close today, and this will be message number 20. So we'll try to do it, and Brother Joseph and them are working on putting this series on to just like one MP3, you know, to where that it can be just right together, you know, and you'll have all of it together. It won't be divided up. So it'll be there, you know, one of these days when we can get everything ready, and you can have it that way. So we appreciate that. Now just remember, pray one for another. Brother Daugherty, Sister Johnny called this morning and said Brother Daugherty had the flu. So remember him and keep him in mind. And Sister Janice, I talked to Brother Richard this morning. She's doing a whole lot better. So they finally determined that evidently she's got some kind of a like an infection or type of a thing, you know, that was bothering her more than just, say, her back problems and all. And they're working that out and all. And we appreciate that. Brother Garland, this morning, the last thing we heard was that he was doing better, and all. So, you know, we appreciate that. It's something to go through that type of operation. He had a lot of problems and all. So just remember each one. We appreciate all your prayers and everything for my wife. And this, most of you have heard of the tests and the things. She went through, two different things. And each one of the two was showing that there was some abnormality or, you know, not normal things of happening through the test they were doing. And so they wanted her to go on to have that, what they call a catheterization, you know, where they go up in and look around. Well, then when they did, they got up there and they couldn't find anything wrong. And her at 63 years old and not any blockages whatsoever. And that is a rare occasion. Yeah. I mean, most of us that would go, they would at least find some blockages if we're, you know, of that age. But they couldn't, and the doctor said, your heart is very strong and all. So, you know, we appreciate all your prayers and everything. Appreciate the Lord, you know, being there and taking care of. So, you know, just keep remember she's still having problems, you know, a little bit with the tests that they run and all. But, you know, just keep her in your mind that the Lord would bless. All right, the Lord willing, I'll go ahead and announce and make change, but I couldn't get a hold of Aaron to find out if he's going to be here Wednesday or not, because he's up there with the Garlands and all. And also we'll go ahead and just announce and say Wade will be preaching Wednesday. So that'll, you know, that'll take care of that. And if we have to, we can switch it, but we probably won't. Also now remember the fellowship meeting this month will be on the third Saturday be at Brother Pageant's. And so if you want to go, we'll all be running up with the bus and everything. You know, if we need to, we'll take both vans or whatever we need to do. You know, we will do that. So just remember that. Daniel 9. Now, we will read Leviticus 25, but we'll do that as we progress along in the message. But Daniel 9, we want to read the whole thing that we've been reading on, and starting with about the 20th verse and reading through the 27th. Now, remember, keep us in mind. We're talking about Israel. But that is only a type of you and I. See, you read the Old Testament, that's a type or a shadow, you know, speaking of me and you. And see, that way, you must see yourself in the Scriptures. Not looking to say, well, that's Israel, that don't have anything to do with us, you know. And it doesn't in the natural things that are pertaining to them because God is dealing with them. But now, we look at that and see how he's dealing with us. And we know that in the book of Daniel, that you have that it finally gets over to about the 12th chapter and it says, you know, to seal up the things. Well, to seal up all of the things that said there. And then we read over in Revelation 10 that, you know, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, that Daniel heard but didn't understand, as he said. Well, then John, when he heard the thunders, he was told, seal it up. All right? So you have a sealing time, but this is the revealing time. There's a lot of difference between the sealing and the revealing. You see, most everybody's arguing like, you know, Wade said, this brother out in Oklahoma said, well, everybody's talking about how the seventh seal is not broke or it's broke, and said, but Brother Dale told us it was the end of all things. Said, I'd never heard that. So, see, it's time to be speaking about what it is instead of talking about, well, it's just sealed up. You know, well, if something's sealed up, you don't know what it is. You better hope somebody can come on the scene or something can happen to reveal it to you, because if it's sealed, then there is no way to know what's going on. I've tried to express that to you from the Bible, that if you don't have the new birth today, that is the problem. Because if you don't have the new birth, then the Bible is sealed up to you. Sure, you can read. You can read all about all of the things, but it cannot be revealed because the natural man cannot understand the things of God. We must be born again to be able to comprehend. So now remember that. So now as we read this of them, then you think of yourself. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and the presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. Skill and understanding. See, bringing it all down. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, remember what I said? A people without a vision, the Bible says, will perish. All right? But now, once a vision is explained, what do you have? A revelation. Once a vision is expressed to you, you have a revelation. But it's the same thing now. All right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. He shall confirm his covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Lord Jesus, bless your word. Bless us all. Your word is already anointed, but we need to be anointed. So just have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now remember what I'm talking about. There's a time of a sealing up, and no one, no matter how much you could read about it or study about it, no one could understand the book of Daniel. Because the book of Daniel to me is an entire journey of the earth, because it doesn't just show Israel and her journey. It shows down through, and you get a lot of good understanding by reading Scofield and different ones' notes of how that the kingdom comes from Medes of Persians to the Grecians and coming down like that, and it's coming down to the Roman Catholic, you know. And that's the point that it comes to, because pagan Rome became papal Rome. I mean, at the time of Jesus Christ, natural Rome was ruling the world. Not Catholics wasn't ruling, because it wasn't in existence. Right? But then it went into a time, and then as it did, then you entered what was known as the Dark Ages. And that's when your Roman Catholic come into being to rule the world, you know, and then come on down to where we are today, seeing the Protestants coming out protesting and walking forth in the light, see. But yet most of them brought out the same doctrine, so that's why they're talked about as they are in the Bible. But yet we don't have anything against anybody. I'm not arguing about what they are, see. It's what we are. Today is the day of salvation for me and you. All right? Now, today is the time that you and I have an opportunity. As I said, this is the revealing time. All right? Now, what we're going to talk about is, and we're going to finish this series, because the Lord willing, this will be the last one. I'll speak on something else this evening. I'm going to start a part. I don't know how long I'll be on it, but I've been thinking in my mind about the approach to God. And the Lord willing, this afternoon we'll start talking about those things. You know, but this will be the last of this series. And I hope you've enjoyed it and that the Lord has helped us. Yes, because we found out that as Gabriel came to Daniel, that we read here, to show Daniel the entire journey of Israel, you know, and revealing to them, even to finishing up and coming into the millennial reign, which is a promise to Israel, because the millennium is not to the bride. That is just a honeymoon for us, you know. All right, because we're getting married here to Christ the Word. Amen. And then we go to a marriage supper in the air, and it'll be for the time of the tribulation period of the 3.5 years to Israel that we'll be at the marriage supper. That's going to be a pretty good supper, isn't it, for 3.5 years, you know, because that's the earthly time. But remember, we'll be body, spirit, and soul eternal, so time won't have anything to do with us anyway. And the millennium is not for us to come and live, but it's for somebody to live 1,000 years upon earth, because no one has ever lived that. And it was said there in the scripture, the day you eat thereof, that day you die, in Genesis. And see, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day in the scripture. All right, see, nobody's ever lived 1,000 years. Methuselah, 969, that's the closest. All right, but somebody's going to live 1,000 years. So the 1,000 year, the millennial reign that we talk about, is the kingdom of Israel. It is not for the Gentiles. We will be there on a honeymoon, you know, for 1,000 years, and already be eternal in body, spirit, and soul. So we're not being concerned about, you know, anything of the earthly time. But we'll be enjoying the great opportunity to preach to the heathen, as the prophet said, would be raised up in the millennium. See? All right? And I don't understand all of that. I ain't worried about it. I just want, the part I'm concerned about is getting in a rapture. Because if I get into a rapture and go out of here in Christ, I don't worry about the rest. It will take care of itself. But where we are now is what we're concerned with. Because this is the time that we need to, as I said, it's a time now to reveal. All right. Now I want to talk about, as we end this series up, a little thing that we'll cover in times and dates in a little bit if we have time. But I want to talk about the Jubilee time. See? The Jubilee time. That's the title to the message, Jubilee Time, you know, the message number 20, 70 weeks of Daniel. All right. Now, because the prophet covers, and we will just scan this to where that you'll understand, and the Bible covers it, that A jubilee time is a wonderful time. If you remember Jesus in fulfilling Isaiah 61, Jesus in Luke 4, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to bring glad tidings and all that." He said, to preach the acceptable year.
Right.
Now, the acceptable year in the Bible was the year of Jubilee.
Right.
All right? See, a Jubilee time would be the acceptable year, and that's what he done. He come to preach that. Now, keep that in mind until we get back to it later on. You see why that I wrote on the side of the notes, if you get them, that I wrote down there, preached, because, you know, that's what Jesus come to do. He come to preach. The other words there were maybe misleading to our understanding of what it would be. Where Brother Brown said, Jesus come to foreshadow or forewarn, rather, the people of the coming year of Jubilee. But he really come to preach. Because that's what he was anointed to do, was preach the acceptable year. Right? Now, in the Old Testament, you've heard me speak of this many times. You go back and study the Old Testament scriptures, and you'll find that every 7 years they had a jubilee time, a release.
Right.
All right? See, and it was not talking of natural slavery, of where you were in bondage to the Romans or ever who the Medes or Persians or ever who you was under. That is not what it's talking about.
Right.
Deuteronomy covers it, that it's when a Hebrew buys a Hebrew, or you go in debt to a Hebrew, or an Israelite in debt to an Israelite. Because the Romans ain't going to let you go, or whatever heathen government you was under, you could go up and tell the king, say, it's 7 years, you got to let me go. You'll go all right. You know, but that's what people think, so they think about slavery. It is not slavery. Now get my point. It is not slavery until you make it slavery.
Right,
you remember that?
Right, sure.
If you chose not to go free,
right,
you went down and got bored in the ear.
Right, right.
It was not slavery. It was working for a debt.
Right.
You owed somebody something, you couldn't pay the debt. You worked for them.
Right.
What's the difference in that and working for General Motors, you know?
Right.
Or a farmer going out and you work for another. That's what we used to do. You know, we used to hire out to the neighbors when we were kids. You know, we get through because there's so many of us. There was 9 of us, not counting my mother and my oldest sister was married. And so it really was 11 of us. We could pick, I had 3 sisters could pick 300 pounds of cotton a day, you know, each one of them.
Right.
Well, man, we could go through our crop just in a hurry. Well, we just go hire out to the neighbor. And that was the way we made a living, you know, was working for somebody else. And this slavery that in the Bible that it's talking about is when you take on the slavery. You get bored in the ear.
Right.
It is not slavery, it's a Hebrew that owns a Hebrew.
Right.
One that can't pay a debt, so you go to work for it. You know. Then you go down and you work for that person. Well, every 7 years, that's all you can hold them. You can hold them 7 years, and then they would have a jubilee. Every 7 years you had a jubilee, and that person could go free once that time came. They could only hold you that long. But it wasn't just a jubilee of that. It was a jubilee of the land. Because you worked 6 years, and you tilled the soil. The 7th year, you didn't till the soil. You let it rest. Just like you worked 6 days, and you let it rest on the 7th.
Right.
See? Because that was what you were doing.
Right.
See? And all of that in the Old Testament spoke of the time, see, that we've had 6,000 years of humanity upon earth. See? And now we're entering the time of coming into the 1,000-year reign that is promised to be a rest.
Right.
All right? A rest unto you and I. But that's where Jesus, when he come to preach that acceptable year, he didn't say, now, you got to work so many days, you got to do this. He didn't talk about days, and well, it's coming up now, we can't work tomorrow. See? That's what they got on to him about. He was out doing things during the days that they thought they weren't supposed to be doing it, you know.
Yeah.
We're supposed to work 6. And he said, yeah, but all of that is speaking of the rest.
Right.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. A rest time. All right? Because that was a jubilee time. All right? Now you're following me through, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Brother Branham uses a jubilee time like a revival. Now, I didn't bring all of these because surely you ought to know it, but he'd say like that great Welch revival that struck back there, or the Azusa Street revival. He said that was a jubilee time. And he'd even say, look at it. He said, the sick are being healed tonight. You know, the things are happening. He said, this is a jubilee time. Because it means a time of release. Now, if you don't get nothing else out of it, it means a time of release. All right? Israel was in bondage to natural governments. But yet they knew by promise that there was a time to come that they would be released. Now, they never was released physically. You know what I'm saying? They were under government punishments. All the way through their journey, they'd be under one king or something, and they'd be all right, and then all at once they'd sin and go back into bondages, and different things were happening all down through their journey. But see, they're looking forward to a time of release. The millennium will be really the time for them to be released. Because even when they come through the time of, that we call of Jacob's trouble in the tribulation period, see, they'll still be under Roman governments or Israeli governments or United States government or UN governments, or somebody will still be ruling over the natural man, see, even when they're getting their freedom. But yet they knew enough to where that they said to Jesus one day, we never was in bondage. Because they knew the promise. They knew the promise that the seed of Abraham would one day rule. Now sure, Israel as a nation come into being in 1948. And they've had their freedom as a nation. But they've never had their freedom in the gospel. They've had their freedom as a nation coming into view. But now they're coming towards the tribulation to receive their freedom in the gospel. But their natural bodies and things will still be under bondage. But in the millennium, it will be Israel as a nation. See, that's what's shown in the book of Daniel. All right? But it doesn't just show up to Calvary and then jump over in Daniel, you know, over to the tribulation period. The book of Daniel shows you the journey of time through there and what's taking place and all those things. But then it shows Catholicism as it comes into being. It shows the beast as it comes into being. Study the book of Daniel. To me, it's an entire book of, or an entire Bible by itself. Because it shows the beginning and the ending. See, then that's what we need to keep it into thinking on. All right? But see, we've been talking about what takes place to Israel and how they wind up in the millennium as a promise. And then we see that that to them would be a jubilee. That's their real jubilee. That's their real jubilee time is to Israel in the tribulation. I mean, in the millennium. The tribulation has said they'll still have bondages of natural human elements. And they've never received that. The millennium will be that to them. Now, when they receive the Holy Ghost in the tribulation, that will set their soul free. Alright? That'll be a jubilee. That'll be a time. That'll be what we'll cover in a minute where the prophet said, a jubilee time. Rapture for the bride and the return of Christ to Israel when they go out of bondage. For sure, they'll go out of bondage in the tribulation period, in the time of the Jacob's trouble. But it'll only be out of bondage in the soul. Alright? See, I'm trying to lay in some things that maybe during the series it was kind of left dangling to where that it won't, you know. I told you that I'd try to preach on it at the end to where we can understand a little better. Alright? Surely they will have a release time. But it'll be just like us. It's a release for the soul. When they receive that new birth, their bodies are still in this earthly time and worked up situations, and they're all killed for the gospel. The two witnesses and the 144,000 will be killed in that tribulation period. But yet in their soul, they'll be set free. All right. See, then one day they'll go into a millennial reign to where that will be totally their jubilee. That'll be their release. That'll be where everything will be in a great thing. But yet we've been taking that to show us. See, then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, that Jesus preached that acceptable year. See? A lot of people went on and become bored in their ears.
Right?
Jesus said to the Israelites, you're turning it down, you know. Paul even come to that. Said, you're turning it down. He said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, see, God had already opened the door through Peter to the Gentiles. But Paul should have been the messenger, stayed with Israel because he was an Israelite. He could have talked really with them, but they turned it down. They became bored in the ear. But see, the people that accepted what Jesus said and taught, and then the disciples taught, they can become free. Because he that the Son has set free is free indeed, which means there's no limitations to you. So in the soul, down through the church ages, we've had a release. Alright? Then like every 7 years in the Old Testament, that there was a release. Every 7 years there was a release in the Old Testament. Alright? So then you have seven church ages coming down through time, and each church age had a release. But the whole thing I want you to see is that there had to be a messenger go forth to proclaim the liberty. Jesus Christ preached the acceptable year. But now he was in time when he preached it. And at the time he preached it, nobody couldn't attain unto what he was talking about. Nobody had the release he was talking about. So he was a trumpet. He was proclaiming, his message was proclaiming that the day of Pentecost was coming to where they could then be in what he was talking about. They could then experience the Jubilee time. They could receive that and walk forth in the release that they could do. And sure, we know it's been a release only in the soul. Sure, because that's got a meaning to it. But each church age had a messenger. Paul proclaimed liberty to the people of the church at Ephesus. See? Then you go up through the ages, Irenaeus, Polycarp, you know, Martin, all the people would have a release time for the people around them, or jubilee, or revival, but maybe like I'd say Polycarp. Brother Brown spoke more of him than he did Irenaeus. But yet it was he took the message that Irenaeus brought. He just couldn't bring the people totally out because he himself backed up into the situation. See? That's why Brother Brown didn't choose Polycarp to be a church age messenger. He chose Irenaeus. See? Because Irenaeus lent towards organized religion, not organized in trinities and this, that, and the other, because it wasn't in much existence. It had begun to be spoken of, but Polycarp lent into organization, into just being, you know, well, we're all one. You know, we're all one. It don't hurt to fellowship. You say, well, now we ain't going to fellowship then. No. You got to know the difference. That fellowship was leading towards Nicaea. Our fellowship can be in a line of winning people to the message if we believe it correctly. Because if we know what we're doing, then we're not going to be caught in the trap. But see, they got caught in the trap because they thought that was what it was supposed to be in, but it wasn't the time for that. It was a time for going into the ground, and that had to happen. But see, each church age messenger then brought a message to set their people free. Right? But now there was no rapture. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. Paul and them will be in the rapture. But the rapture didn't take place. You know, the change in a moment, the twinkle of an eye, all that didn't take place. They were caught up in the revelation of the hour they were living. And that was a great revival. To each church age had a revival. And to have a revival, you got to have a messenger. You couldn't have had the day of Pentecost had Jesus not preached the gospel first. You got to have a messenger. Alright? See, then each church age would get a messenger. But he could only bring them so far out. Alright? Now, go back and study what I'm telling you. Read the book of Deuteronomy and the things. Read your Bible. And see if I'm right. See, every 7 years they had a jubilee. Somebody went through the land, the high priest. Because like I said, you ain't talking about traveling all over the world. You ain't talking about, you're talking about church situations, if you want to call it. Or, you know, the people who gathered in that community, you weren't sold out in slavery to some fella over on the other side of the world. Right. It was a Hebrew that, it was your neighbor.
Right.
We all went to the same church.
Right.
But you didn't have an upstairs booth for the of people, for the black people, you know, and a downstairs for the browns, and another one for the yellow one, and another one for the white ones or something. You didn't, you know, put all the slaves over on that side. That's what I'm saying. People want to do all that stuff in their mind.
Right.
Why do that in your mind? Think about the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know that when that man went, you set that man free at the end of 7 years? Read your Bible. You know you gave him provisions.
Sure.
You gave him enough to go home and plant. You gave him enough to start him another journey.
Right.
That's not slaveries and stuff. That's, people of this message don't even know what the Bible teaches. Oh, going into slavery. It's slavery when that man refuses to go free.
Right.
He becomes a slave.
Right.
Born in the ear, put a ring in there. That's why you women don't wear your ring.
Right.
You're showing what you're talking about.
That's
just why you don't paint your face, because that's what the Indians do when they go on war pipe. You see a woman with a face painted up and all that red stuff, you say, uh-oh, who are you after? I never did like that when I was a sinner. My wife will tell you, I never did like that. You know, I didn't like that point to where you had to go home and wash your face to get the lipstick off that come from somebody else. Alright? I'm not picking on nobody, I'm just telling you the truth. Because if you know what that stuff was made out of... It's made from human bodies. Lipstick, that, I mean, go do what you want to. But I'm just trying to tell you, see, you say, well, I don't wear that, I wear lip gloss. Be careful, don't get it too glossy. You know what I'm saying? Just go and do what you want to. I just stop it once in a while and say a word or two. But listen. Now. But see, as to Israel, there was a sixfold purpose in Gabriel coming to Daniel to show him. And there are six seals to the bride of Jesus Christ. Alright? So the Holy Ghost has come to reveal a freedom for you and I in this day. Now, you understand what I'm saying about? See, each age would have a release, but they couldn't go out. Now go back to Deuteronomy and them and study the Bible and see that at the end of that 7 years, if you went into bondage with a wife, you could go out with your wife. You know, if you sold out to the neighbor to work for him for the time, you could take, if you took your wife with you, you could take your wife back out. But if the man gave you a wife while you was there, now I'm reading Bible, I'm quoting Bible, see, you could go free, but your wife had to stay with the man that owned the property. Showing there wasn't a total release down through time. Showing that in the church ages, the prophet said they couldn't come all the way out.
Right.
They could get out enough to have a jubilee. They could get out enough to have a release of the Holy Ghost, but they couldn't get out far enough to walk totally free. Alright? So then you come down through there, and when you do, you come down to Leviticus. Now let's read it, and then we'll get to the point of it. You come down to where? Leviticus 25. I'll begin reading while you're turning there till we get on down to the lights. And the Lord, verse 1, spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. So you stored up. You went 6 years, you stored up. It would always, the land would increase on the sixth year, and you would store up enough to rest the year. Right. You know, you take a, what they call it now, sabbatical. Right. All right, now watch. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Now watch. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. Right, now you have a release every 7 years. As I was saying, your land's laying out every 7 years. But remember the point. You're having a release every 7 years. But now here he comes up, and what does he show you? And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. All right. So every 7 years you had a release, then it would go up to 49. And see, the 7 Sabbaths, speaking of the church ages. All right. So you would have a release every 7 years. You know, that would speak of your release by the Holy Spirit to each church age. But then something is going to happen in the 49th year.
Right. Right.
That is a very, very special time.
Amen. Amen. Right.
That is a time of proclaiming. Every 7 years, when it would come, a messenger would come around and say, you can go free. But you had limitations to your going free. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But see, somebody's got to proclaim it. It took an Irenaeus, Martin, Columbo, Luther, Wesley, Irenaeus, all of them. See, it took them messengers to proclaim liberty. They preached the acceptable year of the Lord. And people received the revival of the day they lived in. But yet there was no change of the body. See, then when you struck the 7th church age, all right, now we've been through this, so I won't do nothing but just hit it. Then that's why you have 7 church ages, but you have to have 8 manifestations of God. Because the Holy Ghost came on the Azusa Street, the prophet said, 464 seal book, no messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. Right. But the Holy Ghost coming himself brought a jubilee of the restoration of the gifts and the person of Jesus Christ back into the church. But at the end of the age, as the prophet said, as it always ends up, the messenger come. That's why Paul came at the end of the age, Irenaeus, all of them came at the end of the age.
Right.
Now I know I'm having to run fast over that, but we've taught it for many, many years, you ought to understand it. But see, in the 7th church age, a great thing happened. Not only did the Holy Ghost come to bring the release on Azusa Street, but see, the messenger then came on the scene, born right into that period of time, but never started his coming forth until somewhere about 33. He begins to preach. you know, 1933, he begins to preach a message, and it begins to proclaim that your message shall forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. Along about 40-something, the angel of the Lord went to Israel to set them up as to 46, to where that they would start towards statehood. And at that same time, the angel of the Lord came to the prophet to send him forth with a worldwide revival, a release, a proclaimer. Now, like Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the coming of the 50th, here comes Brother Branham on the scene in the last days, proclaiming a liberty, a jubilee time for you and I. Now, he didn't just come to proclaim, if you're listening to what I'm saying, the Holy Ghost came to proclaim liberty for the soul. Alright? This prophet picked that up, preaching the faith of the fathers, showing a jubilee, a release for the soul, a jubilee time. A great revival swept out. But then this messenger stepped into a realm to where that he was bringing a jubilee, you know, or proclaiming a jubilee, is a better way of saying it, because he couldn't bring it. Because Jesus didn't bring the jubilee right where he was at. He said, you got to wait till the Holy Ghost comes. That's your jubilee.
Right.
So the prophet, when he came to bring the message, that's why he's been so misunderstood, because his message begun in the seals. That message was proclaiming that there would be a great jubilee, not just for the soul. The Holy Ghost had already proclaimed that. But there would be a release time come to where that we could go free in every form. And that's right in the Bible then. Just go on down reading. Verse 8 again. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Now here's what happened on the 49th. Then, or at that time of the 49th, thou shalt cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement, which is October the 10th, and it's the same day of the Atonement of Leviticus 23, verse 27. I believe that's right. It's what I got to wrote down anyway. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now you don't wait until you get into the children of Israel didn't wait till they got into the land to have know what was in the land. All right? They had sent spies over and brought back this bunch of grapes that it took two men to carry one bunch. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, I'm kind of funny because I think funny and I know it. But I like to eat and I sure do love grapes. But they carried a bunch of grapes that took two men to carry it. Well, you can visualize great old big grapes this big, or whatever you want to visualize out of it. It doesn't matter. It's where they're little bitty grapes and just so many of them. It doesn't make no difference. You know. See, that's what everybody gets. I wonder how big them grapes were. Now, I don't care. But there was enough of them, it took two men to carry it. You know. Alright? But I wonder by the time they got there, because it was about 10 days from the time they received them until they went across back over to where, I wonder, when it happened, maybe they got back over there, maybe one guy could carry all the grapes. Because I'd want to eat them. You know. Or at least I'd say, hey, we're carrying this bunch, you bring enough for us to eat. You know. Something would have happened because I love to eat, because I love to eat the Word of God. You know. I love to devour the Word of God and love to eat the Word of God. You know, I love to hear it talked about. Because that's what that was speaking of. But that was just something to, you know, how I think sometimes. I think, well, how many grapes did they wind up with? Because I'm sure they ate some of them. But now listen, they already tasted of the land. Right? They knew what the land was like. Even the spies said it's a land of milk and honey. Everything was great of what they said. But then they said, but we can't take it because they're bigger with us. We're grasshoppers in their sight, you know. We can't take it. It wasn't that they didn't bring back a report that the land wasn't there flowing with milk and honey. They brought back the report they couldn't take it. That's what got them in trouble. And see, that's what man has done down through time. He said, sure, we're saved. Sure, we're on our way to heaven, but these old bodies. So they started all these doctrines, I'm going to get me a new one. Because they didn't believe that your body could be redeemed. But the Bible says it can. Now remember what I said, on them sevens, and when you come to that 49th, the best you could do was go free with what you had when you went into it. On the 49th, all you could do was go free with what you had. Now, you understand what I'm saying? If you went into bondage with a wife, you went out with a wife. But if you went into bondage and they gave you a wife, you had to leave the wife. That was the Bible. That was showing you exactly, showing you down through the church ages, they would never be a chain to this body. There'd never be a time that would change this body. He said, well, what's that got to do with Daniel? Because in the sixfold purpose of coming to Israel showed them standing exactly the same place in the millennium that'll show from the six seals revealed to you and me for the change of the body. We'll stand in the millennium as human mortals, but eternal beings. It showed us in the same place. But you understand what I'm saying? 7 years, you didn't go total release. So in 49, you didn't go total release. Here's a prophet bringing a message of eternal life. And like I always say, he said, it become a brand new book, and then you go into the, you know, you go into the time of after the opening of the seals, and the prophet preached eternal life every sermon. But yet he died and went by the grave. See, because it was a seven. It was a 49. We're still in that 49. Because we're still in the seventh church age. You know, the age is out here. Sure, we're called out of it into the bride age. We know that. But the age is still going on. Alright? See, but when you come to that time, then that man would proclaim that year that, listen, you don't have to be in bondage seven more. Next year. Next year is the golden jubilee. A 50th. And said, then everything can go free. Because let's read that now. Verse 10. Thou shalt hallow the 50th year. Now, this is what you hear in the 49th. You hear in time of the fact that you can become eternal in body, spirit, and soul. See, but you hear the message. So now what happened? And you shall hallow the 50th. Now it doesn't say you go out and preach the message. Now listen to what I'm saying. Sure you do when you get in there, but the 49th is where the message is at. The trumpet of the Jubilee is on the 49th. When you get to the 50th, it is that. Jesus spoke of a coming of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came, He spoke Himself through a many-membered body. Like Brother Harris said, should have left Him alone because He died one man. But first thing you know, there's 50 of them. The Holy Ghost was in each one of those men's heart proclaiming what Jesus had preached. Now, so watch what you're doing now. And you shall hallow the 50th year. Hallow, sacred. It's something, see. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Alright? A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap. Before, you didn't sow and reap. You know, you didn't sow on the seventh. And if you didn't sow on the seventh, you weren't supposed to reap. That was barred in the seventh. So you had to wait till the eighth. Right? Come on. You waited till the eighth year, and you sowed in the eighth year. But you didn't reap until the ninth. That's where the people of this message don't even know their Bible. Brother Branham knowed about a nine. You see what I'm talking about? Watch now here. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Now you say, wait a minute, you get the increase now out of the field. Remember, you got to hold over that. You store up enough in six for 3 years. What I say to people, this message don't even know the Bible. You have to, and the six had to be enough for 3 years. Because you couldn't sow the seventh. So if you didn't sow the seventh, you didn't have anything in the eighth to do with except the volunteer stuff. Right? Then you sowed the eighth and reaped the ninth. That's past eternity. Eight is eternity. You say, well, you can't go past eternity. I'm not trying to. That's where I've got in trouble trying to read the Bible. I didn't write that. I got in trouble trying to read the Bible. Because everything after an eight is eternity. It's an eternity of eternities. It's like Brother Brown said one day, in the beginning, before the eternal. He said, wait a minute, how can you be before the eternal? Well, I can be after the eternal if he can be before the eternal. Because once you get to eternity, you ain't got to worry about it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Once you become eternal, you ain't going to worry about it anyway. You're eternal in your soul right now, but your body is waiting. And it is the message that you receive of the Jubilee year. The message you receive is for the redemption of the body. No age has ever faced the redemption of the body. So it took a special one to come and plant. It took one that had the ability to plant. Now I'm not talking about Brother Branham, I'm talking about the angel of the Lord. I'm talking about the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, come down and used a son of man, William Branham, to bring a message. See? He come to speak to his people through the prophet. Sure, a man and his message is one. Sure, we know that. That don't make him God. But that makes him my brother and makes him the prophet to lead me to God and makes it so close until I don't worry about it because I'm not going to make him to be God anyway. But the message he brought to me was God. Right. If you can't read the message like that, that's why people can't read Daniel 70 weeks. They read it looking for a God. Right. Right. They think they're going to find a God by reading. Right. You better remember if you already got it, God done spoke. Right. If you got it in paper, God spoke a long time before then. You know, it had to be brought down to you. That's why we're trying to get you to see in the 70-week series that God don't come to Israel to condemn them. You remember that? I said it in every service that I preached. God did not come to Israel to condemn. He comes to Israel to tell them who they are and what he has done that made them what they are. Well, what would be the message in the end time to the bride of Christ? The seals don't come to condemn. The seals come to set free. That's why it was sealed up in Jesus Christ, because back in the Old Testament, when they would get ready to go into captivity or something, they done it naturally all the time anyway, But when they especially get ready to go into captivity, they take all the deeds, all the records, all the things, and they put them in an earthly vessel, and they bury it in the ground. Huh? Because they knew if they took it with them, they'd lose everything. But then when they come back, they dig up that, and they say, okay, Dick, here's your part. Wade, here's your part. Let's say them, here's your part. Let's call it, here's your... They had all the records kept in an earthly vessel. That earthly vessel was Jesus Christ, because He is the Word. That's what all that spoke of. A coming of Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ, when He stood there on earth, was the death, burial, resurrection. The death was done with. The burial couldn't have nothing. He said, you ain't got nothing. And the resurrection was actually standing inside of Him. That's why He could say, I am the resurrection. He's still the resurrection. See, He was the resurrection down through time, but they could only see it as for the soul. Now it's time to see for the body. Very little the prophet spoke of Israel as to coming into the millennium and their situation of body. But He spoke a lot to me and you. That's where you're changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. I was thinking about that the other day. Everybody's tried their best to figure out what a twinkle is. What would it matter if it did, or if it was 20 million years? What would be the difference? I'm not concerned with the twinkle. What I'm concerned with is the revelation in my eye. Because the Bible says if my eye be singular, you know, if my eye is singular, my revelation will be singular. Do you know that your eyes are singular? You got two eyes looking, but you're singular with it.
Right.
Unless there's something wrong with your eyes.
Right.
Right. But close one eye and try to walk.
Right.
You got to get accustomed to it.
Right.
You have no depth perception. You'll feel around. Because why? Because you don't have that singular vision.
Right. Yeah.
You're limited. That's like a deer. See, you can stand still out in the field. A lot of your animals, you can just stand perfectly still. And there you are, a human being, with a gun in your hand.
Right.
And they'll just walk up to you and look at you.
Right.
I've had them as close as maybe Brother Dean or Brother David does to me, stand out in a broad, open pasture with nothing around but grass about 3 inches high. But then move one finger, and they go, shoo. Why? Because they have no depth perception.
Right.
You look like another tree. Old Paul Anderson, you remember him, weighed 475 pounds, most of it. I laughed at him one day. I said, how are you going to hide? He said, I'm going to sit down in this chair. And he said, I'll look like a big old stump. And I agreed with him. Because he would have been a big old stump. But see, if my eye be singular, then I only got one prophet. And I'm talking about the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not where it's a twinkle of how long. It's what I see. What I see is what I want. All right, now listen. Now, you got your years of jubilee, your times, and see, in this age and time, we have the message has been delivered to you and I, the full plan of redemption, showing us all the way to the future home, which means that we know how the body is redeemed. And we know in the future home that the body was redeemed when Jesus was redeemed on the River Jordan. So that's what it says. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him was Mount of Transfiguration. But whom I'm pleased to dwell. The prophet said, really that was saying, this is the part of the earth that I have redeemed. This is in the future home. And said, from that part of the earth, I'll redeem your bodies. He redeemed the entire earth from it, and my body came out of this earth. See, we know the plan of redemption. But we haven't walked into some of it. Why? Because we're still in the time of the messenger. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. We're in the seventh church age, time-wise. But we're called out of the age into the bright age, but there's a bright age in every age. But we're called out of it. My body is still in time. But I must hear here. I must receive here the trumpet. Now when I get to heaven like us Baptists used to preach, oh, we get up to heaven, boy, we're going to be eternal. I want a little eternal life. As Brother Whitby used to say, you got to have a little eternal life to go to eternal life on. You know, you got to have a little heaven to go to heaven on. But the message you're receiving, this message from the prophet, is the message of eternal life. That's why everybody says, I'll take what he says under the third pool more than I will back there when he's on them 70 weeks of Daniel. You narrow-minded. That's all. I won't say no more. Better not. I'll get in trouble. Cause people's got a right to believe what they want to, not according to the Bible, but according to the Constitution. The Constitution grants you that, not the Bible. But now listen. The bride. Now, let's take a little time-wise. Because that's what I thought. I thought, I won't preach that. And it just come back to me, and I go, okay. I'll take this and get it out of the way, then I'll go on. And you can believe what you want to, and people can believe what they want to hear it on the internet or do whatever they want to. Because I don't have anything to do with it. I can't reveal it anyway. I just tell you what I believe. See, that's why I believe the way I believe. Because we are ahead of Israel in our journey. We have the new birth. Israel doesn't have it. We know the story of redemption. Israel doesn't. They're still looking for an earthly king. They're still looking for a Messiah and know nothing about the millennium except they believe that he's coming to them to give them here. Israel wants theirs here. They don't care about heaven. Because, see, the Bible points to the millennium as being 1,000 years of heaven ruling over earth. And Israel wants that. They don't want the new birth. They know nothing about the new birth. That's why Nicodemus said, you mean I got to be born again? If you went over there to one of them priests today and you tell him about it, he'd say, you mean I got to be born again? He knows nothing about it. You ask him, so what are you looking for? The Messiah's coming. And when he does, he's going to take over. He's going to cast these here heathenistic people off the earth. You know, then they're thinking, now, I'm for Israel, so don't misunderstand me of what I'm fixing to say. But you know those Arabs and things over there, what you want to call them, Palestinians or something, they're trying to eradicate Israel off the earth. Well, you know what Israel wants to do? They either want to eradicate them or take them under control. Come on. They either want to kill them or they want to rule them. Because that's what they think the Bible is about. But we know that's not what it's about. It's about where you and I are at. That's why I preach that message of how that we are the apex of the whole thing. We're the capstone of the whole thing. We're the head of the whole thing. Who? In the body of Christ. Because we've already received eternal life in our soul, and we've heard the message proclaimed by a trumpet, a messenger of eternal life. And we know we receive eternal life, Brother Tatum, right here. We ain't like we used to wonder, well, did we get it when we get up in heaven or where we get over here? We don't know what it is. Now we know it's going to come right here. Because eternal life is here by the revealed word. Amen. And as I said a while ago, God don't come to Israel to condemn. The sixth seal is not revealed to the bride to condemn. The seals are revealed to the bride to show you who you are. And to show you, you are already redeemed. That's why the Lord, the prophet, said, coming on the scene on the sixth seal. Everybody wants to, oh, it's the seventh seal is coming to the Lord. That's right. The seventh seal is coming to the Lord on the sixth seal. You say, well, that's confusing. Good. Maybe you'll pray. Because I can't explain it, but that's where it does. He said he comes on the scene on the sixth seal. All right. See, then when he comes, he says, I'm here. There's your seventh. I've seen that for many, many, many years. There's no problem with the seventh seal to me because he said, I'm here. Oh, it's Parsia and it's Perusia. Perusia's sixth seal. Coming on the scene is on the sixth seal. The seventh seal is his presence standing with you. in you to change us and take us over. And in doing that, then, like I said, they say, oh, Brother Brandon was wrong back there on Daniel 70 weeks. Well, how come he was so right until what he said is still right? I'm talking about on the 70 weeks. Why is it that it's still right? Why is it that we're here in 2006? I'll show you where the prophet said that we would have to go in the rapture in 77. Where did he say that? You liar. Well, I'll give you the page number. Well, read the page. And then turn over a few pages and read what he said. I didn't say that the rapture or the coming of the Lord or something like that would be in 1977. And they got in so mass confusion, they still don't understand. They're just like Israel wandering in the wilderness. How can you know the plan of redemption from your body if you do not see the message or hear the trumpet? Well, I hear the tapes, Brother Dale, more than you do. Amen. But you ought to quit sleeping. I told you I was down there on a deer stand the last day I hunted, and I was listening to one tape, and I woke up, I was on another one. I sleep too. Huh? I wonder how many deer went by listening to the tape too. You know, of course, they couldn't hear it. It was in my head. But church, listen. That's why people are so mass confused. And they said, Brother Brown said it'd be 77. So 73 and a half, they got everything ready. Now, I'm quoting from people. There's a lot of people in this message borrowed every dime of money they could get and do all kind of things and wasn't concerned about debts that they had. So they said, we ain't getting out of here. We gonna rage, ever how that word is back there? Rage, or rage, ever how you pronounce it, what they done to Egypt, you remember? You remember how they went in there and they borrowed everything they could get from the Egyptians and they took all of their gold, they gave them everything, and they left with it? Well, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to work. We don't believe in paying Social Security because we're not going to be here. Now, you can believe what you want to. I get tickled at everybody in their thinking. They say, Brother Dale, you got a grave plot? No, I don't have one. It's just because I ain't never had an opportunity. You know, nobody's ever come by and won't sell me one. Well, I ain't buying no grave plot. That means I'm accepting death. Hey, if you're that stupid, you've already accepted it. You know, sorry for the word. You've already accepted it. What does it matter if you own a grave plot? Does that mean that you don't believe? Well, why don't you quit your job? Uh-oh. Why don't you quit everything? Why don't you do like Jess Tribble said when he had that stroke? He told Claude Wade, come in and tell him about, said, you know, they're sending me a check and I ain't even working. Said, they sent my wife one too. Yeah. Said, send them every month and I ain't even working. See, because his mind was messed up. I'm not against drawing anything or doing anything. I'm just trying to preach the gospel to get you out of the silliness. You say, well, I ain't buying no grave plot because I ain't going to die. I've done told you what I wanted to do. My wife says I ain't going to have to do with it because I ain't going to be allowed to tell her. And I told her if I have to die, put me out on the side of the road. What's the matter with me? Well, it don't make no difference. Find me a good shade tree. But listen, that gets into, you know, people are going to believe what they want to and think it's the gospel. You know, but what I'm saying, now listen. What I'm saying is this point, so you get what I'm saying from this point. People think that those things are what's going to put you in rapture. That you don't have a grave plot, so you got to go somewhere else. Right? Come on, they think, I don't have a grave plot, so I got to be going into rapture. That don't put you in the rapture because you ain't got a grave plot. It puts you in the rapture by the revelation of the Word of God. Not whether you own a grave plot or own the whole graveyard. But listen, church. You say, well, I'm making my statement. What's your statement? Well, I'm not accepting death. You want to convince Paul that he wouldn't go in towards the chop block? Is that what you're trying to do with it? Paul didn't say, now I ain't going to get my head cut off. He ain't going to cut my head off. Now what did he say? Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a revelation that you're dealing with. All right, now listen. That prophet said, let's just read it and I'll get this point and then quit. I'm going to want to read it fast. In the message of the 70 weeks of Daniel, in the 70th week, you know, I'll tell you that where you can pick up between the three, paragraph 196 and 198 through 198. Now count the time, we find that we have exactly, listen, 17 years left. This is 1961. 0806. 17 years left would put you to 77. And we will have the same span of time given us as God dealing with us in the power of the Holy Spirit since AD 30 until 1977. The same span of time of 1954 years, God deals with us the same as He did with the Jews. See? How about that? Now He's just giving you a natural example. All right. Now mark down in your book a little scripture here I want to give you. Leviticus 25, begin with the 8th verse. God calls a jubilee every 49th year. The 50th year was the jubilee. We know that. We understand that. From the first jubilee of Leviticus 25:8 in 1977 will be the 70th jubilee, making exactly 3,430 years. Jubilee means the going up, the release. See, everybody says, oh, see, there's rapture. Now make 30, you take a 50 jubilee and multiply it by 70, you got 3,500. You just missed your mark. He said 3,430. You understand what I mean? You said jubilee's only for a 50. No, a jubilee's every 7 years. And then a 49 was a special one. There's been a whole lot more than, listen now, so everybody will say you're correct, but listen to what I'm saying. There has been more than 70 jubilees of 7 years. That would be an untold number to multiply out to be. But there's only been 70 jubilees of 49. That's what he's dealing with. He ain't dealing with a 7 now. He got it up to 49, and he's taking 49, and he's doing 70. Multiply 49 times 70 on a piece of paper, and you'll find that's 3,430 years. So we know exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the 49. Not just because, see, Paul couldn't bring this message, Irenaeus couldn't bring it, Martin, Columbo, Luther, and it couldn't come on the day of Pentecost. You know, Azusa Street. It would come when the messenger would proclaim. Then it can take place. Now, he said 1977 would be the 70th jubilee. From according to Leviticus 25:8, had he said Leviticus 25:10, being a prophet, the rapture would have come in 77, because that would have been a 50. But he gave you the scripture. Leviticus 25:8 said 77 is 49. So it's 49 times 70, you come out with the right number. All right, now watch. Did you get that? Now I'm reading on down, sir. God has dealt with us exactly the same amount of time that He dealt with the Jews from the time He gave Abraham the promise, now listen, until the rejecting of the Messiah in AD 33 was 1954 years. And now we have 17 years left. We had about 1930-something years. We got 17 years left until 77 will be the 70th Jubilee since the beginning of Jubilees. Now listen, and what will it be? Now, he's not talking about 77. He's talking about a jubilee. He's not talking about 77. He's talking about a jubilee. What will be the jubilee? Not what will 77 be. It's what will the jubilee be? And what will it be? In other words, what will the jubilee be? Oh, brother, watch close. Don't miss it. It'll be the jubilee of the going up of the Gentile bride. Now, watch. And the return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. You have almost 3.5 years between the time of the rapture and Israel when they would totally go out of bondage, and you could really run it totally over until stepping into the millennium would be where they would really be going out of bondage. So what's he saying? 1977 would be the 70th Jubilee. It'd be the going up of the bride. Didn't mean the rapture come in 77. The Jubilee is what he's talking about. In 77, you started a Jubilee. You heard of it until 77, but you entered another day. 1977, you entered into your 50th. And I even gave the numbers back there in 1974 that if you took 49 on to 1977, you could go past the year 2026 or something. I figured out, or 16 or 26. 26. Showing that I should have stood back down and said, this is thus saith the Lord, the rapture won't come. Because see, the rapture is not dates and times and seasons. It's not 2006. It's not 77. The rapture is a revelation in your heart. The messenger brought the trumpet. He sounded it. He proclaimed liberty. The liberty is in the message. That's why you go down to the next one where I give it to him, the mark of the beast. He said the Bible there was 50-year Jubilee. There was 7 times 7 years. And in the 49th year that it was to be a be made ready. I circled that where you'd understand that. Made ready, because that's when it's proclaimed, 49. And the 50th was the Jubilee year. 50 means Jubilee. Then he's explaining, Jesus come to foreshadow, preach, see, forerun the people, telling them of the coming year of Jubilee. That's what Jesus done. But that Jubilee was the coming of the baptism of the Holy Ghost into your heart for the new birth.
Right.
This Jubilee is for the redemption of the body.
Right.
To take you into Leviticus 25:10, that everything goes free. Read it.
Right.
He goes home with all of his possessions and his family.
Right.
That's the scripture I stood on when I called for my children. That's the same scripture I stand on to call for my grandchildren.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Because then I got other scripture says you'll be there with your offspring. Sure, if they get to heaven, wonderful. But if they're my offspring, what am I worried about it for? I'm claiming them for the rapture.
Right.
Well, what if they don't make it, Brother Dale? You. Right, unbeliever. Better word than them others I use.
That's right.
You unbeliever. The prophet said, if you don't believe for your family, he said, I doubt you'll be able to believe for yourself.
Right.
Is that a paraphrase quote the prophet made? I doubt you being able to believe for yourself.
Amen.
In other words, if you can't believe your children are going to be saved,
right,
then you're not believing correctly yourself. You need to get down and pray for God to reveal your salvation.
Right.
My children, I've always taught it. They're not going in the rapture because they're my children. You're not understanding. There's only one generation going in the rapture, and that's God's generation.
Right. Right.
But I can believe that my children will be saved and stand with me because they're part of my generation. See, you and I, church, what I tried to get people to see, 1977, it entered a situation really of a 50. So you don't start back over. 1977 ended the church ages. Because the messenger had then come and proclaimed liberty. 1977 is when you enter a situation to be able to understand the trumpet that spoke to you.
Right.
I can say that for myself. You say what you want to.
Right.
Well, I had this great understanding. That's all right. I did too. I'm the one that tells you I stood back there in 1974 and preached, and we still got the tapes that, like, we could pass the year 2000. How many other people have you ever heard say that? I've never heard of one. Come on, bring it off the internet to me. But produce the tape the person said it on, because I got the tapes where I said it. You say, you're getting exalted. No, I'm just telling you the God's honest truth. God showed me back there that that was not talking about 77. It was talking about a jubilee. The jubilee of the going up of the Gentile bride. Now watch. And the return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. How are they going out of bondage? By this message brought by the seventh angel. Come on. By the message brought by the seventh angel, which is the entire word of God. Well, we'll go to Israel. This message. Not that they'll take books over there. They don't have to do it that way and say, I want you to read this. I want you to... No. Go to the sealed book and read. Those two prophets will tell them, you missed the opportunity. It's 498, I believe. It's in the sealed book. So they'll tell them, you missed. You turned down salvation, but the Gentiles accepted it. Now they've gone in a rapture, and it's left up to you to go through a tribulation. But said you're heading to the millennium. So like I said, he doesn't come to Israel to condemn. Neither did he come to the bride of Jesus Christ to condemn. That's what everybody thinks it is. They thought, oh boy, when 1977, Brother Dale, that's where it entered that second stage of Jesus' ministry. Now it's a judgment message. Boy, we're judging them filthy prostitute systems. No, I'm trying to get everybody saved I can. He didn't close the door in 77. That's what everybody thinks. They think 73 and a half or 63 or some kind of a date closed the door. Just remember what I said a while ago. You are not a slave until you volunteer for slavery. When you reject the truth, you're already marked by the mark of the beast. Now that's your Bible. When you reject the Holy Spirit, the truth, which is the Holy Spirit, you reject Jesus Christ and you're marked already by the mark of the beast. That was in every age. When they turned down Paul's message and wouldn't move on, they become bored in the ear. They become the mark of the beast. And they could never be saved from their slavery. See, it's not me and you that's making people lost. That's what people think. Oh, Brother Dale, but you preach like that. When you preach like that, I think my mama ain't saved. I ain't saying nothing about your mama. I'm talking about you.
That's right.
Mama's in her time. Mama's in her ways. Mama's answering for herself. But I do say it like Brother Woodby. If my mama's a liar, my mama's a liar. That doesn't mean I hate my mama. I love my mother. But she never accepted this message. Maybe she's in another time. I believe that. But that's all right. See? But I believe that the gospel trumpet is here for you and I. Let's stand. Because it's 12 o'clock. I'm sorry. I went a little too long. Let's just... Anybody have a need? The altar's open. We'll never leave without that. But we leave it to where we... You know, that we can just say, I love him.
Brother Tommy needs a touch.
Brother... Dean is standing for Brother Tom. He needs a touch. He's back there, and he needs a touch from the Lord. All right, Brother Harris. Come on up, Wade. Come on up, Brother Terrence. Let's all come and stand together. That'll make five of us to stand here and believe for Brother Tom, because if we, you know, sometimes you're so sick you can't believe for yourself. You can't do for yourself sometimes because you're to that point. So let's all believe for Brother Tom, all right? Father,
God of all creation,
we ask you, Lord Jesus, to reach down and touch Brother Tom. He's sick today. He come to hear thy word and then the devil jumped on him. So Satan, we condemn you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and believe with the elders here, Lord. We've come together. Five of us are standing here, the number of grace, to believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that by your stripes, Brother Tom is healed. And we thank you. We send this prayer cloth, Lord, and we believe and we accept it in Jesus' name.
Oh God, we thank you, Father.
Amen. Anybody else before we go now? I love him. I love anybody else before we go? Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Now, I have one announcement to make. The Alabama Youth Camp is a time of when we're having the, not Alabama, Louisiana Youth Camp, is a time of we're having the services here on the Easter weekend. Now, some have said that they wanted to go, and I'm not saying not to go. I'm just saying we are not going to send the bus, you know, to carry a load. If you go, you have to carry your own, do what you're doing on your own expense and things. You know, I wish you would be here, but I'm not saying you can't go there, because that's left up to you. You know, that's not dealing with, I'm not lording you. I'm just telling you that we'll be having the services here that weekend, so we are not because of that. If it was another weekend, we'd be sending, or I would drive myself. I would take the bus and let the youth go. But we're going to be here for the services for the weekend. So then, you know, that's the point here. If it was another week, like I said, I'd be going or somebody be taking it. But we're not going to do it. It's going to be up to you to do what you want to do about it. It'll be in your hands, and nobody will say anything if you go. But it won't make us no better if we don't go. You understand? Because we'll just be what we are anyway. But we all won't be the same. Huh? Father, we ask you to dismiss now and let your loving grace be with each and every one of us and guide each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name.